does. She looks back to me and offers another small smile, which I return, so fucking nervous now, too. Then she finds one of my favorite pictures, one of the twins when they were toddlers, Jacob on my shoulders, Maddie on Ava's. We're on the terrace in paradise. The blue sea behind us looks as alive as all of our eyes. The sun is as bright as my smile. Have any of these pictures spiked memories? Anything at all? Closing the door quietly, I approach her, taking in the pictures myself. Pictures of us, of our little family. Happiness and love are all over this wall. Everywhere I look, I'm finding things that could trigger something, and I hope so much that they do. And then there's my Ava wall in the family room, all transferred from my penthouse at Luso and added to over the years. Hundreds of pictures of the four of us. Maybe that will help too, because being in the hospital hasn't. The surroundings cold, clinical, and unfamiliar. Her shoulders tense when I'm just a few feet behind her, and she looks back at me, her face so sad. She recalls nothing. I wondered if I was in some kind of nightmare. She turns back toward the photos. Or someone was playing a cruel joke on me. I woke up and was told I was married and I have children, and until now I didn't quite believe it. She points at the picture of us on our wedding day, her chin trembling. That's me. Her voice breaks, and she looks at me, tears flooding her eyes. With you. I nod, trying to force down my own emotion. Jesus, nothing much breaks me, but my wife, so distraught, is guaranteed to cut me open. She looks back at the pictures, wiping at her eyes. And that's me there too. She points at a picture of the twins tackle-hugging her on the trampoline in the garden. With... She hiccups over her words, sniffing back her sobs. My... children. Her shoulders start jumping, and she breaks down completely, covering her face with her hands. I drop a bag and move in to comfort her, fighting back my own tears. Come here. I pull her into my chest and cuddle her, looking up to the ceiling in despair. What the hell am I going to do? Her petite frame is jumping against me as she cries, her grief pouring out as her reality crashes down. It'll be okay, I vow, dropping my head and burying my nose in her dark hair. We'll be okay, I promise. Why can't I remember you? Why can't I remember my children? She pushes me away violently, clenching her fists. Why can't I remember? She screams, shaking the house with her volume. I need to remember. Please help me remember. She falls to the floor, landing on her knees, sobbing like I've never seen my wife sob before. The sight will torment me for the rest of my days. Fucking kills me. I brush at my wet cheeks harshly and force myself to pull it together. She needs me to be together, strong, her husband. I scoop her up and cradle her in my arms, getting my own sense of comfort as she curls up into me and clings to me like her life depends on it, like it's natural. I walk us to the kitchen and sit down in a chair, holding her close to my chest while she lets it all out. What more can I do? Just be here. Hold her when she needs to be held. Tell her it'll be okay. I keep my face close to hers, hushing her quietly until she eventually calms down. It could be a minute, could be an hour. Time means nothing at the moment. I'm sorry, she sniffs, wiping at a wet patch on my t-shirt. Don't be silly. I reach up and wipe her eyes and she lets me, studying my face closely while I savor the tender moment. I'm so grateful that she's allowing me to comfort her like this. Does she realize that? Where are the children? She asks, looking to the doorway, maybe listening for the sounds of the kids. I've asked your mum and dad to take them to the coast, just so you can settle in and get used to things. but they'll think I don't want them. I see panic in her face, and it strangely reassures me to know that she cares about how they must be feeling. She may not remember her children, but she still has a mother's instinct. They're fine, I promise you, Ava. I told them that I need time with you to help you remember some things. Her eyes fall to my chest and flit across the material of my Ralph Lauren shirt. She's thinking. I do want them, she says in a frown. I know I want them. Looking up at me, she takes her hands to my shirt and fists the cotton. I know they're mine. I nod as I breathe in, my eyes glued to hers. I know you know. She returns my nod, thankful for my faith in her, as she smiles through a suppressed yawn. She's knackered. She needs to rest. You should get some sleep. She looks down her front and then feels her ponytail. I'd love a shower. A shower? I've lost count of how many times we've showered together. The times I'm oblivious as I'm washing myself and that waft of cool air hits me, a sign my wife is about to join me under the spray. Now isn't going to be one of those times, and it hurts so bad. Sure. I stand and set her on her feet, backing up, reluctantly showing my intention to let her get on with it. A tiny frown wrinkles her brow. Where's the bathroom? I close my eyes briefly, gathering air into my dying lungs. Of course. She needs a tour of her own home. I'll show you. Resisting claiming her hand, I take the stairs, my feet heavy, my heart heavier as Ava follows, gazing around as she does. I enter our suite, trying not to be nervous as showing my wife where we sleep. The dressing room's through there, I say, pointing across the bedroom to the double doors. And the bathroom is there. Her dark gaze drags across my body as she passes me, taking tentative steps toward the dressing room. Uncertain whether I should, I follow, standing in the threshold as she absorbs the space. You keep your underwear and nightwear in that chest, I tell her. She slides open the top drawer and surveys the contents. Then she moves to the next, pulling out one of my favorite negligees, feeling it for a while before sifting through the rest of the drawer. There's a lot of lace, she says quietly, making me smile a little. Where are my cotton pajamas? The cozy stuff. You like lace. Her eyebrows slowly rise. Clearly. And I do too. I shrug when she shoots me an interested look. A little. You buy all my underwear, don't you? It's my favorite kind of shopping, I admit, unabashed. She nods, slowly and unsurely, our eye contact never wavering. But the lust I always find so hard to control when we're alone together, especially when lace is thrown into the mix, isn't as strong today. Not for me, and not for her. It's brutal, but I know sex isn't going to fix this. So I guess I should put one of these on, she finally asks. I hate that it's a question. And I hate even more that I have to answer with the answer I don't want to give. Wear what makes you feel comfortable. I push my shoulder off the door. I leave you to shower. I have t-shirts in the drawer if you prefer. I make my way downstairs, trying so hard not to feel defeated by such a trivial thing. Lace. It's trivial, but means so much to both of us. I grab a beer from the fridge, then make my way into the games room and plonk down heavily on one of the leather couches. Pulling my phone from my pocket, I find my Sonos app and put on some music, if only to kill the unbearable sound of my thoughts. Gnarls Barkley's Crazy comes on, and I don't bother changing it. Seems too apt. My eyes fall to the bar in the corner where every liquor known to man is stashed. Not for my enjoyment. I haven't touched the hard stuff for years. More for that of our guests when we entertain. but that vodka. What I would do right now to escape from this nightmare. To get blind fucking drunk and pass out and hopefully wake up to my life as it should be. I tear my gaze away, drop my head back and let my thoughts continue to torment me as the track goes on. Let the pain penetrate deeper because she's upstairs showering alone. And I'm down here feeling useless. I finish the bottle of beer but resist getting another and go to the office. I sit at the desk and fire up the iMac and then search through the files until I find what I'm looking for. The photos. Thousands snapped from the very beginning to just recently at my 50th. Moments captured in time. Faces smiling and sometimes even scowling. Endless happy memories. Every photograph loaded with love. I click through, my pain worsening with each image. How can she not remember any of this? How can she not remember me? I drop the mouse and scrub my hands down my rough face, feeling so fucking knackered, physically, emotionally. I need a shower too. I leave the folder open, ready to let Ava scroll through the years when she's ready, then drag myself upstairs. There's not a peep from our bedroom, and when I push into our room, I find Ava snuggled up in our bed. I can't help feeling hurt. She's always claimed it's impossible to get to sleep without lying on my chest. Then I feel a little hopeful because she's wearing the lace instead of the t-shirt I offered. I ignore the fact that she has always slept naked. Baby steps. After creeping to the bathroom, I take a quick, lonely shower. And then I trim my stubble, taking it down to the 3 days' worth that she loves so much. I spend only a few seconds taking in the man before me. I'm a fucking mess. I feel weak, disheartened, and sad. I've been in hell before, and I feel like I'm free-falling back there now. Why? Why is this happening? What did I do? I brace my hands in the sink. And breathe deeply, trying not to let the anger that's brewing erupt. I don't like it when things are out of my control, and right now my world is spiraling into fucking bedlam. And there's nothing I can do about it, only hope. My shoulders rolling with the strain of keeping my temper contained, I growl, my teeth clenched, desperate to hit something. I look up and face myself again. And before I realize what's happened, the mirror shatters and my knuckles split. It's okay, though. Now my reflection looks exactly how I feel. Broken. Chapter 14. I can't stand how quiet it is around here. I can't hear the kids tearing through the house. Can't hear the coffee brewing. Can't hear Ava shouting at the twins to get their little asses into gear for school. It's deadly silent. I stare at the coffee maker for a few seconds, feeling anger building. It's just a coffee maker. But it's a coffee maker that's always brewing when I get downstairs in the morning because my wife has switched it on. It's her thing. That's what she does, and today she hasn't. Because she doesn't know. I yank the cupboard open and search for the coffee. I don't even know how to work the fucking thing. Finally, I locate it, pour it in, and fiddle with the stupid fucking machine, cursing my way through it. I don't even know if I've done it right, but I switch it on, hoping for the best, and silently will it to hurry the hell up to rid the kitchen of the god-awful quiet. I collect a cup, add milk, and then tap my fingers impatiently on the worktop while I wait. Scowling down at my scuffed knuckles. My eyeballs feel like they're being scratched every time I blink, my lack of sleep catching up with me. I think I got an hour last night. An hour slumped in the chair by our bed, the rest of the night spent watching her sleep, desperate to crawl in behind her and cuddle her in my usual fierce way. But I dared not. As I pour coffee, I hear my phone from across the kitchen. I fetch it and answer without looking at the screen. Morning, Elizabeth. How are things? She settled in okay? Her voice sounds as desperate as I'm feeling. No. And things are fucking awful. As well as can be expected, I say. How are the twins? Joseph has taken them to the driving range. We've got lots planned, surfing, crabbing, fishing. I smile as I sip some caffeine down. Thanks, Elizabeth. I really appreciate you doing this. I don't think I've ever sounded so sincere when speaking to my mother-in-law. Oh, Jessie. Her voice cracks under the pressure to remain strong, and for the first time in my existence, I wish you were here so I could give her a hug. Listen to me, I say, as sternly as I can muster. You've known me for 12 years, Elizabeth, so you should know that I'm not going to let those years slip away like they were never there. She coughs over a little laugh, sniffling. I know we're both terribly silly with our bickering, but you do know I adore you, Jessie Ward. On the inside, I'm toasty warm with appreciation, and yes, I did know that deep down. But at the risk of breaking down too, I'm forced to pull my arrogant self back to the surface. I can't cry on Ava's mother. She's depending on me. I can't cry on anyone. Yeah, well, my heart belongs to another. Oh, stop. She laughs, and it's so good to hear. You're still a menace. And you're still a pain in my fucking ass, Mum. Look after my babies. Okay. She doesn't argue, doesn't even question my order. Keep in touch, won't you? Every day, I assure her. Hanging up and sliding my phone onto the counter, my shoulders immediately dropping. The energy to be strong is draining me. How long can I keep this up? On a sigh, I wander over to the fridge and pull it open, snatching down some peanut butter from the shelf. I remain where I am, just set in having a couple of scoops, something familiar and comforting in this foreign world. A few minutes later, I'm halfway through the jar. Morning. Her soft, unsure voice hits me like a cricket bat in the back of the head, and I whirl around with my finger in my mouth to find her at the entrance to the kitchen, her hands playing nervously, where they're linked together at her midriff. The lace nightwear has been covered with a cream satin dressing gown, her dark hair fanning her shoulders. She's a vision, and I can't touch her. I suck my finger clean and swallow, quickly screwing the lid back on as she frowns down at my hands. Peanut butter, she questions. Is that humor in her tone? Would now be a good time to tell her that one of her favorite pastimes is smothering her boobs in it and letting me indulge in my two favorite things all at once? It's a vice. I put it back in the fridge and grab some orange juice, pouring her a glass. Nervous and shaky in my movements. Did you sleep well? Not once in nearly 12 years of marriage have I ever had to ask that question, because I've always been right by her side, aware when she's sleeping peacefully or when she's fidgeting because something is on her mind. Not really. She pads towards me and takes the glass from my hands, smiling a little, before settling on a stool at the island. It felt like something was missing. She looks away, as if ashamed to admit it. I've concluded that it must have been you. What? Hope flourishes within me again, and I'm not sure whether to welcome it or not. With no hope, there can be no disappointment. But I can't help it. Moving to the stool beside her, I take a seat. Ava, you should know that once I've had you, you're mine. I nearly fall back off my stool. To hell with disappointment. Nothing could hold back the joy surging through my veins right now. You remember? With her lips on the rim of her glass, her brow furrows a little. I don't know where that came from. Inside you, Ava. I take her juice and place it on the counter, taking her hands in mine and squeezing tightly. Way deep inside you. She looks at me, tears in her eyes building again, Damn those fucking tears. This is so frustrating. She squeezes my hand in return, wanting me to understand she has to trust me. I do. I really do. I just stood in two children's bedrooms for 15 minutes, demanding to remember them. I smelled the sheets of their beds and went through their drawers. Nothing. A lone tear rolls down her cheek, and I catch it with the pad of my thumb. It's no good. I lift her onto my lap, my body wrapped around hers. There's no resistance from her whatsoever. I just want to bang my head repeatedly against a wall until it all comes back. You'll do no such thing, lady. My nose and her hair, I inhale, appreciative that she's letting me comfort her once again. Whether she wants it or needs it isn't something I'm wasting my thoughts on, because I need it. Sighing, she shuffles from my lap, forcing me to hold my breath and talk down my dick when she innocently rubs against me. There'll be none of that, and I never, not ever, thought I would say that in my lifetime with her. What did you do to your hand? She asks, running a light fingertip over the tops of my knuckles. I shake my head and remove my hand from her touch, my silent way of telling her to leave it. I can see by the weariness in her eyes that she knows full well what happened to my hand. She must have seen the mirror. Or maybe she heard it shatter last night. She doesn't push it. What are we doing today? She asks instead. Yes, back to the important business. I get up and offer my hand, grateful when she takes it. I found all the photographs on the computer. I thought you could spend the morning going through those. The whole morning. She lets me lead her into the study and help her sit at the desk. We have a lot of photographs. I wake up the screen and we're immediately greeted by a picture of the four of us. It was in paradise. The twins were toddlers. I was 42 and Ava a vision of stunning perfection at 30. Maddie's in her arms, Jacob in mine. And we're kicking water at each other on the seashore, all of us laughing. It's a beautiful moment, captured in time, natural and real. I watch as she reaches forward and touches the screen lightly, her finger drifting across all four of our faces. We're a really good-looking family, she muses to herself. He looks like you, and she looks like me. I say nothing, just kiss the top of her head, and leave her to go through the endless shots of our happiness. I won't be able to watch her do that without breaking down. Agony. It's pure fucking agony for the whole 5 hours she's in the office looking at pictures. I wonder constantly if anything has spiked any memory. And then I finally hear her crying and know that it hasn't. I look up to the ceiling, squeezing my eyes closed, anguish settling deeply in my gut. Then I pull myself together and follow her cries to the family room. I find her on her knees at the foot of my Ava wall. Her head is in her hands, her fists clawing at her temples as if she's trying to physically yank the memories free. Shit, she'll open her wound. Ava, baby! I run across the room, my heart tugging painfully as I gather her up. Every inch of the wall above us is covered with photographs and captions written by me, Ava, and the twins now too. There have been days when I've come in here and chilled out on the couch and just stared at it all day, taking in the sheer magnificence. Nothing ever makes me smile harder than finding a new photograph and reading the words either Ava or one of the twins has put with it. It's one huge homage to my family, one of the most precious things in my life. And now it's a factor of my wife's desolation. My eyes fall to the most recent picture, the one Jacob and Maddie put up nearly 2 weeks ago. It's me, my face moody as Ava kisses my cheek. The caption in Maddie's handwriting reads, "It's Dad's birthday, and he's real grumpy about it." I swallow as I pull Ava closer to my chest and move to the couch, sitting and arranging her with ease on my lap. I quickly check her head, making sure she's not upset her wound, as she curls up so small, huddled and sobbing into me. I say nothing, and just hold her for the next hour while she cries her heart out, curses out loud, shouts and screams and sobs some more. My eyes are stinging from the silent tears I allow to escape while her head is buried in my chest, her fingers clawing at my t-shirt to hold on to me, like she's afraid I'll leave her alone in her darkness. Never. We're in this together. All the way to the end. I can't see any light at the end of this torturous tunnel, but I pray it's there somewhere. Eventually her sobbing subsides, though I don't push her to leave her hiding place, waiting patiently for her to brave facing the stranger who's holding her. "Zero, baby," Ava murmurs into my chest in a sniffle. I stiffen. Why do I keep hearing those words? I push her away from my chest to find her eyes. They're red and swollen. "It's one of our games," I explain, and she frowns, encouraging me to go on. "I start at 3, and when I get to 0, what?" I shrug, pushing on. "Sometimes I tickle the shit out of you. Sometimes I kiss the living daylights out of you. And sometimes I put you in bed." That's about as delicate as I could be in explaining the countdown. "Ava, baby, it's just another part of our wonderful." She smiles, just a little, but it's still a smile. "Ava, baby," she whispers, settling back into my chest, turning her face outward so her cheek is flat on my pec, her eyes staring across the room to the wall. "Whenever you say that, it sounds perfectly right. Whenever you hold me, it feels perfectly right. Whenever I look at you, I know you are mine. When I look at the kids, I don't recognize them, but something tells me to protect them. It all feels incredibly right." "Because it is right," I reply, so relieved to hear that. It's a flash of the light in this darkness I'm searching for. Everything about us is right. "So why can't I remember?" Her voice cracks again, and not for the first time. I try to imagine her bleakness, try to imagine what it must be like to feel so misplaced. I'm not sure if it's fair to compare her struggle to mine. "You must be so frustrated too," she sobs. "How long will it be until you give up on me?" Give up. Jesus. She really doesn't know me anymore at all. Ignoring the pain in my heart is hard. Hearing her doubt my determination is a killer. "You will remember," I vow. "You and I are a formidable force, Ava. Nothing has defeated us in the past, and I'm not about to let it now." I take her wedding ring and bring it to my lips, kissing it gently, and she looks up at me with so much need in her eyes. It's need of another kind. Not a sexual need, but a need for me. Just me. To help her. To support her. To love her. To remind her. "I once told you that I wanted to look after you forever." I hold her eyes, never wavering. "I meant it, baby. Forever isn't over yet. Never will be. Not for us. I love you. You are the best part of me, Ava. The greatest part. That can't be forgotten." She blinks a few times, maybe a little taken aback. That hurts too, because any other time I've told her how much I love her, she's just smiled and kissed me. We must love each other an awful lot. "It's pure bliss, baby," I begin quietly. "Total gratification." I lower my lips cautiously and peck her wet cheek lightly. "Absolute, complete, earth-shifting, universe-shaking love." She barely breathes those final words, but I hear them like they're being delivered through a megawatt speaker held at my ear. "Yeah," I confirm, cool on the outside, But on the inside, I'm constantly being carved up by the fact that she's saying things and she doesn't know why she's saying them. I'm not going anywhere, and neither are you. Do you hear me? She nods through more tears and crawls in closer to me. Except this time, her face goes into my neck and she breathes me in, her lips resting just perfectly on my skin as her hands slip under my t-shirt and feel me. You always smell so good. Are you going to tell me how old you are now? 22? She chuckles and I smile. I can tell you make me happy. Good. I relax in my seat and we spend a few silent, blissful moments in our madness just snuggling. Her hands skating over my chest, lightly touching me everywhere she can, like she's reacquainting herself to the feel of me. Chapter 15. We've been rattling around the quiet, empty house for 2 days, leaving only once so I could take her to therapy. We left the session after no spikes in her memory, and the hopelessness seemed to multiply by a million. I forced myself into the spare bed each night, and hated it with a vengeance every time I've left her in our suite. Each time, she watches me as I go. And each time I've wondered if she really doesn't want me to leave. But there's no way I can ask her. I keep seeing glimmers of a familiar look in her eyes. A pleased look. The look she used to give me every day of our lives. It's the look that tells me she wants me. The attraction she's never been able to hide. But now she's holding back. She's trying to fight it. Just like she did all those years ago when she walked into my office. But this time, I can't charge her resistance down like a bull. I can't take what I want. I have to wait for it to be given to me, and it's killing me a little bit more each day. I've been watching her, wondering what's going on in that mind of hers. And she's caught me doing it often, smiling a small smile each time. She's getting used to me, weighing me up. It's now night time again, and dread fills me as I walk her up to our room, the bed still unmade from this morning. I'd normally strip her down to her skin, lift her into bed, and crawl in behind her. But that fear of scaring her to death or being rejected stops me again. I don't know if I could take it. Yet walking out and leaving her kills me too. Kate's words crawl into my mind. Where's the Jesse Ward we all know and love? On that note... Arms up, I order Ava, taking the hem of her shirt. She gazes up at me, a little surprised. There's uncertainty in her eyes, and she flinches when my fingers brush the flesh of her tummy. In return, I flinch too. Yet my reaction has nothing to do with the usual flame in my skin whenever I touch my wife. And everything to do with her wariness. I drop her t-shirt and step back, giving her space, trying to control the agony in my chest before it puts me on my knees and has me begging. Never mind, I'll give you some privacy. I turn before she catches sight of my watery eyes, and take myself away from the one person in this world who brought me back to life, and the one person in the world who can finish me. Closing the door behind me, I stalk away, aware that if I stop and try to gather myself, I'll either put a hole in the wall or crumple to the floor and cry my fucking heart out. I roughly brush at my damp eyes as I take to the stairs, eager to put as much space between us as possible, so that when I roar my frustration, she's not as likely to hear. My pace quickens as I round the bottom of the stairs, and I stagger into the games room and shut the door behind me. Falling against the wood, my body rolling with the effort it's taking to breathe. Bang! I smack the back of my head in the wood, squeezing my eyes shut, quaking with a fury I'm unable to control. Why? Why is this happening? I've pushed it too far too soon. The roar I've been suppressing since I escaped our room bubbles up from the pit of my stomach and explodes out of me. And I turn, throwing my fist into the door. The door doesn't splinter, but my already split knuckle splits some more. It doesn't hurt. The only pain I feel is in my fractured heart. Fuck! I stay where I am, forehead resting on the door, fists clenched, for as long as it takes me to cool down. Could be 2 minutes, it could be an hour. I don't know. I feel as though precious time is slipping like sand through an hourglass. Unstoppable. It's the sound of my phone that eventually pulls me from the door. Feeling numb, I walk over to the table and swipe it up. It's Kate. Hey. I slump onto the couch and inspect my bloody fist. Everything okay? My wife doesn't know who I am, Kate. So no, everything isn't okay. She doesn't reprimand me on my curtness. No progress, then? I sigh long and tiredly. I keep getting glimmers of hope, small things that make my heart leap with promise, and then they disappear. My hope dies, and I'm back to square one. I know it's not your forte, but you need to be patient, Jesse. Like the doctor said, there's a cog in her mind that's jammed. And it keeps jittering and then grinding to a stop again. It's so fucking frustrating. You're frustrated. She laughs a little. Imagine how Ava must be feeling, Jesse. She's woken up with a husband and 2 kids and 16 years of her life missing. Guilt. It sweeps right in and cripples me. I know. I rub my forehead like I can wipe away the stress. I can see it all in there, Kate. It's all in there. I just needed to remember it. What if she never feels the connection and emotion she did when we met? No matter how much I might try to describe it to her, it won't be as intense and crippling as it was back then. How it always is. It won't bond us in the same way. And now, more than ever, I need that bond. She'll remember. Don't give up. Never. I vow, hoarse through the despair blocking my throat. Despair I'm quite sure I'm not hiding very well. How about dinner one night? All of us. Drew and Rhea again. Yeah, I agree half-heartedly. I'm not all that enthusiastic about sitting around a table with friends they can see how much of a stranger I am to my wife. Let me know when.
I will. Keep it together, Jesse.
It's no wonder she doesn't recognize you. I barely do myself. She hangs up with those words still lingering in the air. Jesus, I breathe, dropping my phone to the couch so caught in conflict. I replay all those little glimmers of hope that Ava's given to me. Words that have come from nowhere, but have been quickly snatched away with a frown, a muddled look on her face. The soaring happiness followed quickly by unrelenting hurt. My eyes fall to the drinks cabinet across the room again. The bottle of clear liquor enticing me, pulling me in with promises of respite. Keep it together, I say to myself, forcing my heavy body up from the couch. I lock up the house and make my way upstairs, my eyes nailed to our bedroom door as I wander to the spare room. Another night without her sprawled all over my chest. Another night missing her warmth. Another night with the biggest piece of me missing from my side.
Chapter 16. Ava. The past few days, all I've had to do is think. Think and go to therapy and think some more. I'm sick of thinking. I'm sick of the headaches from thinking too hard. The last I remember, I was dating a guy named Matt. I even remember talks of moving in together. So what happened? And what about the career I was working so hard for? I work for my husband, live with my husband. It's obvious I'm always kept close by. Is that normal? Is it healthy? I sigh and turn over in bed, catching sight of the clock on the table. It's 8 o'clock. I can hear clatters and bangs coming from the kitchen. Last night he tried to undress me. I couldn't help but flinch when he touched my bare skin, not just because I was surprised. My flesh seemed to ignite, and though it was like nothing I'd felt before, somehow I know that I have. In that moment, I was alarmed by my reaction, scared by it. I hardly know him, yet my body does, and it's telling me every single day. There's a connection, something deep and almost debilitating. He's devastating. I close my eyes and try to wrap my mind around all the signs that I love him. Not just the tangible proof, the pictures, the children, what people have told me, but the invisible proof, like my skipping heart when I see him, like my heated skin when he touches me, like a strange urge inside me to be close to him. Something clicks whenever I am, like when he hugs me in those big arms. He's good at snuggling. He's good at comforting me. He's good at giving me space when I need it. I stop that thought process right there and rewind. I don't think he's really very good at giving me space, and I really don't know if I want it. I can see the strain on his face whenever he leaves the bedroom, and I feel the strain within me. Something isn't right. He doesn't seem right, and that's a strange conclusion for me to reach when I don't know him. Gingerly edging to the side of the bed, I wince as I stand, the muscle behind the healing cut on my leg pulling tight. I pull on a cream gown and head for the door. I want to know things, and I'm ready to ask. So he better be ready to tell.
Chapter 17. I'm making coffee again, creating as much noise as I can to fill the silence, when Ava marches into the kitchen. I'm taken aback by the determination written all over her face. Then she stops, her eyes sparkling a bit at the sight of my bare chest. As her gaze moves down, the sparkle fades and she points to my stomach, or the two scars marring it. What happened? I look down. I don't know why. Nothing. I shake my head and return my attention to Ava, not prepared to go there yet. Besides, I know she didn't come stomping in here looking all resolute to talk about my scars. It's the first time she's seen them since the accident. What's up? After a little shake of her own head, she rights her softened body, standing tall and confident. Tell me how we met. I want you to tell me everything. I cautiously lower my ass to a stool, torn between happiness that she's asked and dread from the pressure of having to answer. It was all so intense and a huge whirlwind of feelings and emotion. The thought of explaining it is suddenly very daunting. I don't know where to start, Ava, I admit as she joins me at the island. I'm worried I won't do our story justice. She breathes in a little, thinking, as her gaze flits across my face. Then show me. I laugh under my breath, but it's nervous. I'm not sure you're ready for that. I don't want to freak her out when she's in such a mind warp. This isn't like when we met. I can't go steamrolling in like I did back then. She's delicate now, fragile. I feel like everything is hanging on my approach to this mess. Ready for what? I clench my eyes closed, swallowing. My ways. Your ways? Yes, my ways. I open my eyes and find hers. The mystification staring back at me only amplifies my worry. She doesn't know what to make of that, or of me. That's what you call it, I tell her. My ways. I go on when she cocks a questioning head. I'm unreasonable, I shrug. Apparently. A deep breath helps me to go on. A control freak. Another lame shrug. Apparently. This is hard already and I've not even skimmed the fucking surface. I'm possessive and controlling and... I press my lips together when her eyes widen a little. Apparently, I add, quietly. You just said apparently an awful lot. apparently, I mumble, looking away from her, struggling to express what she needs to know. For fuck's sake, I breathe, frustrated. You swear a lot, too. I shoot my eyes to her, finding a rather disapproving look. I could laugh, but I cough instead. And you don't, for the record. Hardly ever, in fact. I refuse to feel guilty for telling her a barefaced lie. This could be the end of her potty mouth. I don't? I shake my head. Never. Oh. She falls into thought again for a few moments, swallowing repeatedly until she takes in so much air, I'm worried about what might come from a mouth that requires so much preparation. I am ready, she declares. I'm lost. Ready for what? For you to show me. She bites down on her lip a little, gazing at me as I try to comprehend what she's asking me to do. I'm not sure, Ava. I am sure. She approaches me and lays her hands on my chest, forcing me to breathe deeply through the contact. I have a huge gaping hole in my head. It's where you and the children should be, and it's truly killing me that you're not there. She shoves me a little, bringing her face close to mine. You're here, in my life, but you're not up here. Releasing one hand, she taps the side of her temple softly, though she still winces a little. Her move is a reminder to both of us that she needs to take it easy. Her visible wounds haven't healed yet either. And I just know that you should be. Seeing those photographs has only made that instinct stronger. Her voice cracks again, and I quickly take her hand back down from her head, holding it firmly in my grasp. I need you to do whatever it takes. Her fierce determination through her broken words staggers me. Then I remember who I'm faced with. I might be a stranger to her, but this is still my wife. The strongest woman I've ever met. She has to be, or I wouldn't be in her life, or she in mine. She tackled me before, took everything I had to throw at her. Whatever it takes, I counter, just to hear her say it again, just so I know we're on the same page. Whatever it takes, she confirms, nodding at the same time. She's given me permission, telling me it's okay to be all of me. No pressure then, I quip, wondering where to start. The answer comes to me quickly. Go take a shower. We're going on a little trip. As I look up at the imposing building, I conclude that this is just as weird for me as it must be for Ava. The manor is still the manor, except now it's the manor golf resort and spa. The grounds are as spotless as they were when I sold the place, and the building is impressive. We met playing golf, Ava asks, a little laughter in her tone. How romantic. There wasn't much romantic about our first encounter, baby, I say, guiding her up the steps to the open doors, checking for her limp. It's there. If mild. There wasn't? She sounds so disappointed, her head dropped far back, taking in the extraordinary structure. You know, this could be your perfect opportunity to change that. I skid to a stop, looking down at her, a little stunned. She remains quiet while I fish for a response to that. I have nothing, so I pull her on, my mind spinning into overdrive. Not about her hinting that maybe I should be romantic, but because she's shown a suggestive side. I like it a lot. I shouldn't, however, take that subtle hint as a green light to ravage her. Not just yet, anyway. This way. I lead her into the bar, pick her up, and place her on a stool, trying to ignore the fact that despite the exterior of the manor remaining the same, the interior has changed dramatically. It looks utterly shit. I gaze around, caught between resentment and reminiscence. The general layout is the same, though the decor is very different. Why are you scowling? Ava asks. This will probably do nothing to help her remember. How could it when I barely recognize it myself? It just isn't how I remember, I tell her, pointing to the barman, who's kitted out in some green penguin suit that matches the rest of the decor. Mario looked much better.
Who's Mario?
My head barman.
Your head barman, she blurts.
Oh, yeah. I look down at her, smiling nervously. I used to own this place.
You owned a golf resort?
Her mouth hangs open as she takes a look around her.
The house, your flash Aston, this place. Are we rich?
We're comfortable, I say, nonchalantly, hoping that that is the end of that, for now at least. The complexity of the manner and how I came to own it isn't top of my priority list of things to tell her. It's us that's important. I order two waters and quietly ask the barman if I can speak to the manager.
Why did you sell it?
It wasn't a golf resort when I owned it, I say, fully aware that I've just opened the floodgates to an inquisition. I take the glass and pass it to her, waiting for the inevitable.
Then what was it?
She takes a small sip, looking at me, waiting for an answer. I stall, avoiding her gaze, like she might find the answer in my eyes. Oh, look, a lovely painting of St. Andrews. I point my glass to a wall on the other side of the bar, where tasteful art used to hang. She looks over her shoulder briefly, clearly not in the least bit interested.
What was this place when you owned it? She repeats, leveling an expectant look at me.
This simple question has made me realize just how much there is for her to remember. Fucking hell. This is getting more daunting by the minute. My arse drops to the seat of the stool next to Ava, and I sigh, long and defeated. A sex club, I say quietly. Not that there's anyone around to overhear.
Pardon?
She coughs, her glass of water landing on the bar. It was an exclusive sex club for the rich and beautiful. I rest an elbow on the bar, propping my head in my hand. Her lovely mouth is hanging open again, and I'm inwardly laughing. She's heard nothing yet, and for the first time, I wonder if there are certain things that I should hold back forever. Things that nearly broke us. Things that I would love to have wiped from her memory even before the accident. But that wouldn't be fair. Our story is our story after all, and I have to have faith that she got past it back then so she can get past it again.
Wait, she retreats on her seat. You said we met here.
Her finger comes up and swirls the air around her head, comprehension beginning to dawn. The fear of her thoughts is endearing.
Tell me I didn't.
You didn't, I assure her on a small smile.
Oh, thank God.
She breathes, her hand coming up to her chest. Finding out I'm married with kids is enough to wrap my brain around, without the added knowledge that I was a kinky bitch. I laugh at her evident relief. Oh, you're kinky, lady, and in a whole league of your own.
What do you mean?
Her cheeks flush. I haven't seen embarrassment on my wife for years. It still looks good in her. I relish in the sight, leaning in toward her to get close. You're a teasing temptress, baby. A savage when you want to be.
A savage?
Biting, clawing. I smile a little at her growing shock. Screaming. Really loud. We're fucking perfect together. Her blush gets even brighter, her eyes darting away from mine.
Oh.
I chuckle at her prudishness. Well, this is a strange sight.
What is?
My wife being all shy and reserved.
Well, it's not every day you find out your husband owned a glamorous sex club.
It's not every day your wife forgets who you are, I reply, with no hurt or harshness behind my words. It's just a factual statement. We're both out of our comfort zone here, Ava. She looks at me in quiet contemplation. Why do I get the feeling that I'm about to experience something incredible? I smile and take her hand, helping her down from the stool. Because you are. Because our story is truly incredible. Come on. I find the manager and have a quiet word while Ava stands in the entrance hall, staring up the sweeping staircase to the balcony landing. Just watching her there, taking everything in, looking so out of place, brings back so many memories. It's sweetly reminiscent, if a little painful. The sight is beautiful, but the feelings are ugly. I don't have the all-consuming intrigue and awe swirling within me like I did back then. I have anxiety instead. I join Ava and stare up to the first floor too. The doors off the landing are all closed. Doors to guests' hotel rooms, as opposed to doors that lead to hours of pleasure. This way, I whisper in her ear, making her jump a little. I hold my hand out and smile when she takes it, walking us leisurely through what was the manor. When we hit the ballroom, which is now a huge restaurant with a terrace onto the golf course, I look back, trying not to hope too much that any of this is familiar to her. It's a long shot since it's so very different from how I remember it. Our wedding breakfast was in this room, I say over my shoulder, leading her through the scattering of tables. Please tell me you sold this place before we got married. I can't. I return my attention forward, smiling when she sighs. My smile stretches when I spot an elaborate spray of flowers in a huge glass vase with bursts of every color imaginable. I divert us to the table where it stands and scan the bouquet, spotting what I'm looking for. There's only one, but it doesn't matter. I only need one. I pluck the calla from the middle and turn, handing it to Ava. She's unsure as she reaches for it, eyes flicking from me to the flower. It's beautiful. I smile mildly and pull her on. Understated elegance, I say over my shoulder, relishing the beam she gives me in return. They're your favorite flowers. Since when? Since the day you met me, I tell her, as we approach my office door, thinking I was quite romantic back then after all. I look up at the solid wooden door, my mind bombarded with so many memories, the most poignant and important being the first time that Ava O'Shea wandered in. I remember it like it could have been yesterday. I was hungover, grumpy, wishing I didn't have to endure the mundane meeting with an interior designer. Then John showed her in, and all headaches and irritability were forgotten. Instant intrigue, desire, and want replaced them. Wait here, I order lightly, dropping her hand and opening the door, stepping into the vortex of memories. Her head cranes around me, trying to see into the office. Wait. I want you to wait 1 minute and then knock on the door. She laughs a little.
Why?
Because that's how it was when we met. I shut the door and spin around, taking in my office. Really? I ask thin air. What the fuck have they done to it? I rush across to the corner and drag the desk to where it should be. I haven't got time to rearrange the entire space to replicate what it was all those years ago, so this will have to do. I hear a knock and fall into the chair, quickly rolling up the sleeves of my shirt and roughing up my hair a little. Come in, I call, grabbing a pen and jotting something down on a pad to the side. The sound of the door opening fills the office, and I look up to find she's poked her head around the door. I don't even know why I'm here, she says in a shrug, making me sag in the uncomfortable office chair. Just come in, I flap an impatient hand, beckoning her. She shuts the door and stands across the office, looking around a bit bewildered, Nice. It was better when it was my office, I say, following her lead and taking the place in. I sniff my disgust and find